This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. GM has been in the news a lot, probably more than it wants to be. And Daniel Howes, the business columnist at the Detroit News, wrote about the automaker's struggle to overhaul its culture in the wake of failed parts, recalls, government criticism, and some tough questions from Congress. Daniel, you described the insidious aspects of GM's corporate culture as decades of blame shifting, lack of accountability, a callous disregard for customers. Has going through bankruptcy and the new leadership of GM had any impact on that corporate culture?
Not enough. I think it's probably safe to say, and I think the evidence is in the report, the internal report that was commissioned by GM on this whole mess, which talks about the culture and the attitude towards this problem that has now become one of the biggest problems the industry's seen, and certainly that General Motors has faced. And some of that did happen, and that narrative did occur after the 2009 bankruptcy. I think one of the things that's interesting is there's this assumption by people on the outside, starting with the federal government and the Obama Automotive Task Force, that if you just put some different people on the board of directors and you put some new CEO and new senior management, that you could change this culture. That may be necessary, but I think we now know that it's really not sufficient. It's going to take a much longer-term approach that is a lot more consistent and shows a lot more discipline. Remember, GM's had five CEOs in 5 years. In that time frame, Ford Motor Company had one in 8 years, as an example, and kept its management team largely intact throughout that whole period. So Al Mulally was able to kind of, through iteration and discipline and really fine-tuning, able to get a system of accountability well established at Ford Motor Company. Now, I think the management of GM wants to get there. I really do. But the question is, are they going to be able to?
It sounds like in your column that you were really thinking they ought to look at middle management a little more carefully, find out more about who hid the ignition switch problems, which led to the deaths of 13 people. Am I misreading here?
No, but going back to the early to mid-'80s, Roger Smith was famously the CEO of General Motors and at the time complained about what he called the frozen middle. That's his words, not mine. And it was a frustration of the inability to reach into the anonymous ranks of the salaried workforce primarily and how difficult it was to drive change. GM had a history, even as recently as last year, frankly, when Dan Akerson was finishing his three-year stint, of demoting salaried people who weren't performing as opposed to getting rid of them, of moving problems around. This was a management culture. He complained to me in an interview in December of what he called a management union, whereby middle managers had this about the same security as members of the United Auto Workers, if not more so. And in his view, that was not something that just compounds problems. And he told the story of a young up-and-comer who came to him and really wanted to ascend to higher levels in the company, but the guy above him had been demoted and was basically standing in his way. And it created a real bottleneck. And that's been a real frustration. So there's a lot of issues internally that we don't see on the outside, and customers certainly don't see, that can affect the performance and affect the culture.
You write that new CEO Mary Barra is taking smart first steps, but Barra is a longtime GM insider. How can an insider get other company insiders to change GM's corporate culture?
Well, I think she's using, I think she's going to try to use this crisis as an opportunity to drive some pretty dramatic change. I mean, in fairness, Mary is a product of the culture, but she also has got a pretty well-established reputation of driving change and getting people to work together and to achieve new kinds of levels. I think one of the big questions for her is going to be, can she train that discipline on people that she's been close to? I think one of the truisms of the General Motors leadership today, as we sit here 5 or so years out of bankruptcy, is that it's more populated by longtime GM people than it's been since bankruptcy. And she has a close relationship with her head of product development. She's close to her head of communications. She's close to the general counsel who's been in the middle of this mess. And she defended him pretty fiercely after they both testified before the Senate committee a couple of weeks ago. And she basically has made the case that I need him and I need him on the team. That may or may not be true, but one of the ways you change cultures is by the way in which you handle personnel, who you appoint and promote, how you compensate them, what you're willing to tolerate in terms of accountability or lack of accountability, and what you won't tolerate. And the history of GM has been that CEOs have stuck with people they've worked with for a much longer period of time than they probably should have. And I certainly saw that a lot when I was based in Germany and saw the guys that were running Europe and basically running Europe into the ground. And they stayed there for 5, 6, 7 years.
That's Daniel Howes. He's the business columnist at Detroit News. Thanks very much for telling about this.
Thank you.